chapter 14, from let's read from verse 15. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, a farewell, farewell encouragement discussion that he has with them. He says to his disciples in verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Read that far. May God bless to us that reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your help today as we just take a short time to look at your word. We pray for the strength to look at your word and to study it and to lay it to heart. We pray for the wisdom, Lord God, which is not from ourselves but comes from above, that you would, Lord God, guide us into truth, for your word is truth. So send your spirit, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to be one of those days, I think, that bell. How often is it going to ring? Is it like school's out, school's in, it's morning tea time, get your play lunch? 3 minutes. It's going to ring every 3 minutes, is it? Our youngest son likes to talk about my father lately, and it's interesting because all my three children were born after my father passed away, so they've never met him. They weren't even a twinkle in their mother's eye or father's eye when dad passed away. And yet, lately, our youngest one seems to talk about him a lot. And he associates him with me, but he also says things like, "I miss him, and I want to meet him," and so on. And then that leads us to talk about what happens after you die, leads us to talk about heaven, leads us to talk about being glorified. It leads us to talk about the fact that we're all one day going to go and we're all going to pass away, and our spirits will return to the Lord until the resurrection, and then we'll all be reunited. And it's kind of an interesting, it's a sad but interesting conversation to have. We can probably all think of people that we miss, somebody who has gone away, we can't talk to them, or somebody, particularly when people pass away. It's sort of often is something that fills us with sadness, or the questions of what if, or what would this person think? I always remember growing up, people used to say, "What would Granny say?" Roddy would have heard it more than I would have, but people used to say, "What would Granny have said?" You know, this was my father's mother. She was somewhat of a matriarch. And so whenever something new was being considered or something had happened, people would take it back to my granny and they would say, "What would granny?" Well, granny didn't say anything, of course, because she was in the presence of the Lord. And she was no longer interested in what we were up to and doing. But people would often do that and they would associate it and relate things back to her. Well, Jesus is addressing really the similar kinds of issues here. He's told his disciples that he's going away. And so immediately fills them with all kinds of questions. What's going to happen to us? How will we be? Who's going to take care of us? How are we going to communicate? How are we going to know the will of the mind of God? Who's going to guide us? He's leaving them, but he also wants to comfort them in this farewell discussion. He's already told them, you know, that he's said to them that they will be able to find him. And Thomas sort of says, you know, how do we know the way? And Jesus says, you know, the way to God is through myself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So now he talks in terms of not only the fact that he's going to be going away and he's not going to abandon them, but in a sense, he's never really going to leave them. And I want to just explain that this morning here. Because I think that one of the things for many Christians, when a person becomes a Christian, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go through that process of realizing, but the Lord Jesus Christ is not here now. He died on the cross roughly 2,000 years ago and he ascended into heaven. And so where does that leave me now as a Christian? And I know that some people struggle in their faith because of that. So let's just look at these, what Jesus tells his disciples here. It seems like a pretty complex passage, so I want to try and break it down a bit for you. What Jesus basically says, that's the bell again. Wow. I was wondering when that was going to go off. Man. We're just going to have to ignore that bell, aren't we? Strength of mind, willpower. What Jesus says is that he will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live in those who love him. Okay? He will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live in those who love him. Now that seems, you're probably saying to Jeff, surely on a day like today, you could have found a simpler sermon point than that. Simpler sermon heading. That seems like this huge, complicated mouthful. There are kids running around. There is all sorts of noise. There's bells going off. There's all these distractions. And you give us a sermon point like that? Come on. Well, I give you a sermon point like that rather than saying Christians get the Holy Spirit. I give you that sermon point because that is what actually Jesus says in this passage. And if I said to you, Christians get the Holy Spirit, I actually would be shortchanging you. What Jesus says in this passage is very Trinitarian. Okay, Trinitarian. That's about the three persons of the Godhead. And that's how he explains it. He opens this section by with a description of a Christian that you'll would have noticed a little bit that is a little bit different from what you've seen in the past. You would have expected Jesus to say something like in verse 15, if you believe in me, but he doesn't, does he? He says, what? If you love me, if you love me. Isn't that interesting? It's almost as if Jesus, up until this point, and the Gospel of John has been explaining Christianity in terms of what it looks like from the outside and the need to believe. John's Gospel is all about believing, isn't it? But now, it's kind of like he turns and really gets on the inside of a Christian. And a Christian, from the outside, a Christian is someone who what? They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trust in him with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. But what does that translate into? On the inside, that translates into love. That's the height of belief. That's ultimately what it comes down to. So he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father And he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So that is why that was my heading. Jesus will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live in those who love him. So you've got the three persons of the Trinity. Jesus says, you know, if you love me, I'm going to ask my Father to send the Holy Spirit to live within you. And so the person, the man and the woman who's put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a deep and abiding love for the Lord. And that love results in obedience, just like husbands and wives, doesn't it? I want a cup. Can you get me a cup of tea, dear? I mean, who else could you sit around and say that to? Can you get me a cup of tea, or could you do this for me or that for me? Daughters, yes, parents and daughters. I think that happens a bit too. That's why parents have children, didn't you know? So they just have people to do stuff for them. Didn't your parents? No. No, just kidding. They have children because they love them, all right? But you know, it's really interesting, isn't it, how when you see a couple have been together for a long time and they're very secure in their love, there is something happens. They do things for one another. It's a kind of obedience, but it's not, you wouldn't see it as obedience. They don't go, "Huh, do I have to? Yes, make me a cup of tea because I am your wife, or I am your husband, and make sure you put three sugars in it." All right? You do it because you love that person. And so it doesn't feel like you're being ordered or asked or commanded or anything like that. It's this service that comes out of love. So, you know, for those of you, for you who love the Lord Jesus, he's got a promise for you today. And he said that he will pray, he's going to pray, and he's going to ask the Father. And if you are a Christian, of course, this has already happened. He's going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Why does Jesus do that? Well, if you love somebody, you know, you can't bear to be away from them, can you? That's why, you know, what did they used to do in the old days? If you had a lover, you know, the ladies would often wear a locket with a, what was inside that? There'd be a photo. It usually wouldn't be a photo, I suppose. In the old days, it'd be a painting, wouldn't it? What they called the, there were people who specialized in painting miniatures. And you'd open it up and have a little look and then close it again and carry on. And then if you missed them again, you'd open it up and have a little look and a little sigh and a little longing and a little tear and close it again. But now, of course, what do we do, Carl? You pull out your cell phone or you get on Skype. See, that's what Carl does all the time. Carl's on Skype. Yeah. So when you love somebody and you miss them and you want to be reminded of them and you hate being separated from them, you get on Skype. And Jesus knows that because he's going away, we're going to miss the Lord Jesus. Imagine if it was like, well, guys, I'm off now and I'm possibly going to be gone for 2,000 years, maybe 3,000 years. You know, what would that be like? Well, Jesus, you know, he used to be here on the earth. He used to be 2,000 years ago, and he died on the cross for us, but man, he's gone, and we haven't seen him since, and one day he's going to come back, and we don't know when, but meanwhile, we're just waiting. You know, we're on our own. Well, Jesus, he's not going to do that, is it? Is he? He knows that if you love him, you want to experience his presence. And so he says, I'm going to ask the Father to send you the Spirit of God. And he calls him another, the helper or the comforter. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, and you will see me. But you will see me because I live, you will also live. And in that day you will know that I'm in the Father, and you and me, and I and you. And he talks about, what is he talking about there? He's saying, I'm going to be with you. How? By the Holy Spirit. And it's a little bit complicated how Jesus explains it, but basically he says, I'm going to send you another comforter, meaning not somebody different, but it's another of the same kind. Just take my word for it. If you go in Galatians where Paul says, if anybody comes to you and preaches to you another gospel, then there's a different kind of another. There's another which is different, and then there's another which is the same. I know I'm just confusing you even more, so I'll just stop right there. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, who is the same kind of comforter as I am to you. And this is explained in verses 21 to 23, where they ask, they say, you know, who is this comforter? Judas, he asks, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make... Notice the difference. Notice what he's saying here. We will come to him, and we will make our home with him. So, think about this for a minute. How much does God love you? How much does God care about you? Well, what Jesus is explaining here is he's going to ask his Father, the Almighty, God Almighty the Father, who's going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who's going to come and dwell within you, so that the Lord Jesus himself is going to be present with you and never leave you. Here you see, what you see here is the three persons of the Godhead. You know, we often talk about, well, the name of our church is Trinity Church. And we often talk about the doctrine of the Trinity, you know, and we try and understand how it all hangs together. And is it ice, or is it, you know, is it ice, water, and steam, or is it an egg with a shell and an egg white and a yolk and all that sort of stuff? And we try and figure out all the complexities of it. But here is something that's way different, isn't it? He's saying, actually, the triune God is going to be with you. The triune God is going to be with you. When the Spirit of God comes and dwells within a person, he is bringing the Father and the Son, because they are one being. They're three persons in the one being. And so Jesus is going to ask God the Father Almighty to send the Spirit of truth to dwell within you, so that you won't be alone. Why does the Holy Spirit come? Just quickly, he comes to comfort and help and teach us the gospel. Why the Holy Spirit? Why the Paraclete? That's the Greek word that gets used here. Why is he given to those who love the Lord Jesus? He gives three reasons here. He says, you won't be orphans, but I will come for you. I will comfort you. He comes so that you won't be alone, you know. Anybody here ever have an experience when you were a kid, or maybe some of you kids have had this experience of getting separated from your parents or getting lost, all right? That's a pretty scary experience, that, isn't it? You know, it's like when you hear in the you go somewhere and it's the show or the fair or whatever it is, and there's an announcement comes over and says, will the parents of, you know, Sally Jones or whatever, you know, come to the information tent? And what do you picture in your mind? You just picture this little kid just sitting there bawling her eyes out because she's can't find her parents. And it's a really traumatic experience. And so Jesus says, well, actually, the Holy Spirit has come to comfort his disciples. He also comes to help us. He comes to give us strength. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes to help you as a Christian, to give you strength for things like praying. Is prayer easy? No, prayer is work, isn't it? Prayer is hard work. Lord, bless me today. Lord, help me. And man, what's that sound out there? What's that noise? I wonder what's... Is that somebody texting me? Wonder who's been checking out my Facebook page. Oh, man. I'm going to be busy tomorrow. I've got heaps of work to do. So the Holy Spirit, we need help in our prayer, don't we? Or just even to know what to ask for. You gotta. Brian might need a bit of help. Yeah. All right. One of you guys just want to go with Brian? Just two are better than one. All right. He's all right. He's running. Yeah. Okay. So Jesus comes to help us, doesn't he? He helps us in our weakness, especially when it comes to something like prayer, which is so important, so vital for the Christian life. Also, the Holy Spirit comes to teach us the gospel. Notice that how Jesus explains that. It actually comes, he says in verse 26, and there was a good reason why I wanted to read verse 26, and I forgot that reason. But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So what Jesus is saying is that the Holy Spirit is going to come in and he's going to teach you, continue to teach you. Now, I think a lot of people miss this. I think a lot of Christians, they go, I made a decision to be a Christian. I professed my faith in the Lord Jesus. And that's it, isn't it? That's all you need as a Christian. That's all you need to have. You've said, I'm a Christian. And that's it. Meaning, we think we don't need to learn anything more. But Jesus says, actually, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit because you need to keep learning. You need to keep growing. You need to be taught. So it's a comforting truth, isn't it, that Jesus takes care of us and provides for us and he helps us and he teaches us the gospel. And just finally, this final point here, I'll wrap this up. When you have the Holy Spirit, when you and I receive the Spirit of God, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, when do you receive the Holy Spirit? When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God comes and dwells in our hearts. Notice the statement of verse 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. There's this mystery that surrounds the Holy Spirit in God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in God's people. You know, this is something that kind of sounds crazy to a lot of people. How can God be with you? You know, you talk to people and you might say, you know, I know the Lord and I love the Lord. A lot of religions talk about sort of keeping the rules of their religion. Or, you know, whether it's Islam, the five pillars of Islam or certain things. But there's no concept of having any relationship with God. Christians view things very differently because we know that God comes and indwells the life in the heart of a Christian. And so they say, God is with me. I know, I feel the Lord's presence. I know his presence with me. I can sense his peace in my heart and in my life. And Jesus, he just points out the fact that actually, you know, that makes no sense to somebody who doesn't have the Spirit of God. It makes no sense. They say, well, I can't see the Spirit, so how can he be there? And it just sounds like sort of double speak. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him. Why? For he dwells with you and will be in you. And that's just, it's like, sorry folks, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. You know him because he dwells within you. You have the Spirit of God. And so, you know, that raises a question actually, doesn't it? Can we have the Spirit of God? Does the Spirit of God, how does that work out when we're living in disobedience? When you put up your hand and say, I'm living as a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but your life is not measuring up. How does that work out? You know, that is why the Apostle Paul talked like this. He said, be careful that you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. See, we need to really examine our hearts, don't we, and see if the way we're conducting our lives, if the stuff that we're doing, if the stuff we're looking at on TV or on the internet, the stuff we're reading, or the words that are coming out of our mouths, or the decisions that we're making, or the values we're living by, and the stuff and the values we're basing our lives on, whether they really do measure up to God's standards. And whether we really do love the Lord Jesus, remember that where we started from? You will love me. If you love me, you will obey me. And I will send you, what? The Spirit. And so the presence of the Spirit in a person's life is evidence of their love for the Lord Jesus and their obedience of him. And so there's a warning in this, isn't it? That we can't just carry on. You know, you meet all kinds of crazy people as a pastor. No reflection on any of you. You're all beautiful. But, you know, I met a guy once, and he's like, Jeff, I believe in the doctrine of election. And then he proceeded to explain to me this crazy marital, non-marital. He was... had an affair, and then his wife had an affair, and she ran off with his best friend, but he was kind of divorced, but not divorced, but loved his wife, but found another woman who went to another church, and they had moved in together, and he was just convinced that it was all okay. And it was, why was it all okay? Because I'm elect, brother. You know, I've been chosen. And I'm like, he bought me this really fancy lunch, and I was like, bro, that's sin, you know, I can't, that's not right, you shouldn't be living like that. Thanks for the lunch. But the point was this, is that, you know, he was kind of, on the one hand, he had this doctrine, and on the other hand, his life was way out of whack. And so the question was, where is the Spirit of God in your life? If you truly are a child of God and you've received the Holy Spirit, is he, you know, do you have the Spirit, or is he immensely grieved at what you're doing? And are you feeling that grieving of the Spirit? Is it troubling you that you are living like this? And so those are questions that we have to ask ourselves, that we, when we allow sin to control our lives, it just leaves no room for God, does it? If sin dominates, where is the Spirit of God? It's been pushed out of the picture. And of course, I'm talking there about willfully and knowingly continuing to defy God's word. I'm not talking about the fact that we all fall, that we all sin. That happens, I know that. But I'm talking about going on and continuing in sin. So, here's some words, and I don't know how much you captured today. I'm being quite honest, and I appreciate this has been a difficult session. But just some things here. Look, maybe if you understand this, if you love Jesus and you keep his commandments, Are you alone today? Are you alone? The answer is no. Okay. You're not alone. All right. You're not alone. Why? Because Jesus hasn't left you alone. Because he has asked the Father to send the Spirit of God. And God is triune. And so you have the full presence of God himself within you. Always. Never leaving you. Never abandoning you. And which, by the way, won't make much sense to anybody else unless they too have the Spirit of God living within them. We're going to explore that again. So if you missed all that today, we'll come back and look at it another time. Fear not. But just if we can hang on to that. If you're a Christian today, you're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can gather here and open the Word together. And I just pray, Lord, for your help, your wisdom, your strength to know how to best to serve and obey and love you. We thank you that you don't leave us on our own. You don't leave us just to ourselves to decide what to do. But you have sent your Spirit into our lives, the Spirit of truth, who will guide us into truth, the Spirit of the living God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we can live and dwell and serve you and honor you because we love you. So I just pray, Father, for all the needs and all the things that trouble us as Christians, those things that can trip us up. I pray that you would remind us each day that you haven't abandoned us, but that you were with us, and that we must open our hearts and purify our lives so that the Spirit of God can dwell within us for your glory. As we ask in his name, amen.